Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ron Timmermans, 2021 National Flight Instructor of the Year, who was inducted into the National Association of Flight Instructors Hall of Fame in 2022. Ron is an independent master flight and ground instructor from Orlando, Florida. He is an airline transport pilot with over 7,000 hours of flight time and is today's host.
Hi, I'm Ron Timmermans, one of the many hosts with the Florida Aviation Network, and this is a great day for aviators. How would I know that? Well, this aviator is in Lakeland, Florida today, and I'm at the 49th Annual International Aviation Expo and Sun and Fun at the Lakeland Linder International Airport. What a great place to be. Beautiful weather, almost all sunshiny skies, no clouds, no rain today. If you got sunscreen and you're at the air show, you're in good shape. You're in a good place to be. So in the studio today, we are going to be doing a number of interviews with aviation personalities and interesting folks and helping you understand what their commitment to safety is and how they're interacting with the rest of us. My first guest today is Colonel Luis Negron, and he is the wing commander for the Civil Air Patrol, the Florida wing of the Civil Air Patrol. Colonel Negron, may I call you Luis?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. So it's good to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining us. So Civil Air Patrol, now many of our viewers have heard of Civil Air Patrol and probably heard of your help in disaster relief and the like, but there's a whole lot more to Civil Air Patrol than what we often see. There's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes and the like, but tell us a little bit about the organization that you command here in the Florida wing.
Absolutely. So Civil Air Patrol is the Air Force Auxiliary, chartered back in 1941, going on strong after so many years. One of the congressionally chartered missions is emergency services. Here in Florida, we have a great partnership with the Florida Department of Emergency Management and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA. Last year, as you all well know, we got hit with two hurricanes, Hurricane Ian and Hurricane Nicole, Ian being the more severe of those two storms that hit us. That presented a couple of challenges for us in the aviation community. Initially, early on, when we knew the storm was certainly going to make an impact on the state, FEMA reached out and said, we would like to get imagery from the entire west coast of the state of Florida. And they offered, and they asked to see if Civil Air Patrol could do it. And we said, why not? Let's give it a try. That has something that has not been done in the past. So we provided entire imagery of the entire west coast of the state, all the way from 4 miles to Pensacola before the storm hit.
Before the storm.
Then after that, we were tasked again to do the same thing. That way FEMA had up to the minute before and after shots of everything, how it looked before the storm and after the storm. That was invaluable. We provided FEMA over 115,000 pictures. We worked straight for about 16 days, nonstop, from sunrise to sunset, every hour, launching aircraft, resources, ground teams. We did multiple mission sets just in those 16 days, and that was fantastic. It got so busy for us that we ran out of resources. And one thing that's fantastic about Civil Air Patrol, we're just not a state element. We're a national element. So I was able to reach out. I had crews from Tennessee, Virginia, Georgia, Alabama. I had a virtual incident command post. We have over 400 members throughout the nation, including Puerto Rico, Alaska, and Hawaii, participating in a Florida event. So I told my boss, National Commander General Foca, that I am happy to take all the accolades, but they're not really mine. They showcase Civil Air Patrol as one team, one unit. Our training is standard throughout the nation. So it doesn't matter where you come from. You can come anywhere. In our case, in our help to Florida, seamlessly integrated into our mission and provided support. Had crews from North Carolina that never been to Florida and landed, got a quick safety brief and went airborne, providing imagery for FEMA. So FEMA just knows CAP was fantastic.
Yeah.
They really don't know there was a crew from Virginia or Tennessee or Florida based crews, but we were so busy. Our members are volunteers, as you well know, so we don't get paid for this. Our members were devoted. A lot of our guys were doing 20-hour days, getting four-hour naps, essentially, waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning to prep for the next day. And the response that we received from the state and FEMA was fantastic. They overwhelmingly were extremely satisfied with the product that we provided them.
I can imagine. Well, this is wonderful. So you actually were on site and on the coast before the hurricane made landfall and doing this imagery. So what platforms did you use? Mostly Cessna
172s and 182s are our daily bread and butter.
Okay. For and us did you here. Have special photographic equipment? Or
so just... we use what was called Waldo, which is a special piece of equipment that goes on the outside of the aircraft, and it takes sensory images of the entire shoreline. And sends that imagery back to FEMA, and they can pull metrics and other things from that imagery to determine the rise of the water level. For example, existing structures that were no longer there. If you can remember what happened in Fort Myers and Sanibel Island, it pretty much got cleaned off. So we provided imagery before and after, so they could compare exactly what was there and what was not. That assisted in FEMA being able to return claims for assistance much more rapidly than they would do in the old ways they were doing things.
So how much time before the onslaught of the hurricane did you have to do the imaging?
Oh, boy, that day before. We were asked, we're very, very short notice, can you guys do this? And we said, absolutely, we will do that. So the day before we were flying, before the storm, of course, we said, once the winds get to exceed our operating capacity, we're going to have to shut down. But we were able to take pictures from Fort Myers all the way to Pensacola and give them, cover everything that they wanted. So they're extremely, extremely happy.
Wow.
And again, these are volunteers who took time off their busy day and put aside their own home preparation to serve their counties and the state and the nation.
That is really amazing. That's a really amazing selfless act on so many people's parts, volunteering through the Civil Air Patrol, and how useful the product that you were able to provide for FEMA both before and then afterwards. And eventually that, I'm sure, was helpful for the claims that people had to make for here how I was impacted by the hurricane Ian and Nicole, and here was before, and here's what I'm left with afterwards. I mean, how valuable that must have been for.
And it's interesting because a lot of our membership got affected in the Fort Myers area. So after they were able to secure their properties, they still wanted to come and help. So yeah. We kind of said, you know what, take your time. There's no rush. There'll be plenty of authorities to do. Make sure your family is safe and everything, and your property is safe. And after that, so we had a plethora of members quickly volunteer to come help, even though they were affected themselves, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Speaks to the character of our membership.
The character of your members, indeed. So how long after the hurricane made landfall were you up taking the after pictures then?
As soon as the weather permitted, once the storm moves out of the way. So the very next day after the storm, we had assets already in place taking imagery. So about a day after the storm.
How many aircraft do you have at your disposal in the Florida wing?
So in the state alone, we have 26 planes. We have 13 172s, 11 182s, and two 206s.
Oh, okay. So you got some pretty good size aircraft.
Yes,
that's
yes.
That's good. And of your members, you said you have about 1,500 cadets.
1,500 cadets statewide, about 2,000 senior members. So roughly 3,500 members statewide. Okay. I have units all the way down to Key West, which is fantastic. I have units in Jacksonville and Pensacola. So pretty much the entire state has a unit local.
Okay, so 3,500 people statewide. You said the wing is the statewide organization, and underneath that you have eight groups within Florida, and a total of 60 squadrons.
About 60 squadrons.
Yeah.
And growing, thankfully.
And growing.
We had last year we had only six groups. We've expanded two additional groups. We're looking at dividing another area of the state. South Florida is growing dramatically. So we're increasing our membership, increasing our size. So to accommodate for a better span of control, we're dividing and allowing for better span. We have to divide one of our areas into two subdivisions. So we're creating a new group. And that's just a result of the interest in the program, which is fantastic.
That's good. That really sounds like you're growing, and it's exponential growth and successful as well. So you said about 3,500 members total in the Civil Air Patrol in the state of Florida. Of those, how many of them are pilots?
So our membership here, that's a very good question. Our membership here in Florida is about 10% are pilots.
10%.
So about 300 pilots in the state, which is fantastic. And that's not counting the usual snowbird that comes north and comes to Florida to fly during the winter.
Yeah.
So not counting those, we probably have around 400 pilots in CAP.
Wow.
Just here in the state.
And where do you keep the aircraft based?
Everywhere. So I got planes all the way down in Miami, and they support the South Florida area. I got planes in stationed out of Pensacola who support the Panhandle area. And I got planes all over the East and West Coast. So I have planes pretty much covering the entire state to provide not just the mission sets that people are familiar with, search and rescue, disaster relief, and that sort of thing. One of our primary missions is to support the youth initiative in providing our cadets flight opportunities. So there's a national shortage of pilots. Mm-hmm. The Air Force is now paying for CAP cadets to get their pilot's license.
Oh, really? Where
in the past, they would just get your solo flight, and that was it. Now they're taking that extra step into getting and funding flight school so our cadets can get their pilot's license. And there's no commitment. A lot of people think, well, if you do that, you have to join the Air Force or one of the branches. None of that. The interest is to continue developing aviation and making sure that we have a new generation of pilots coming along. As the older generations are aging out and not flying anymore, we need our youth to start picking up those replacements.
Yeah, indeed.
So there's a big initiative from the Air Force in funding aviation for our cadets so they can get their pilot's license.
You know, I'm suspecting that's not real well known. So a young woman or a young man can sign up and become a cadet in the Civil Air Patrol. And if they have an interest in learning how to fly, they can have that effort funded by the Air Force. And that's all part of their desire to build more pilots or bring more pilots online because, as everyone knows, there is a pilot shortage and it's going to continue and probably get worse as time goes on. Well, what other cadet activities other than flying? If someone's a cadet and doesn't necessarily have an interest in learning how to fly, I'm sure there's other things that for cadets
Absolutely.
To do.
So we do have a lot of events, and some of our bigger events, the cadet corps, as we call it in Civil Air Patrol, our main purpose is to mentor, guide, and lead them and develop them into the next generation of leaders. So not all of them choose to be the next military guy. And that's not what we're here for. We're not a recruiting platform or a gateway to the branches of our military. And some of them do. We do not do that.
Okay.
So part of our job is to help them achieve whatever it is they want to do. Whether it's the private sector or going to government or going to the military, we mentor them into several areas. And one way we do that is by our encampments. We have two encampments a year, one in the summer, one in the winter. And they have grown significantly. Our numbers a couple of years ago averaged 200, 250. Our last encampment, we have 425 cadets from 19 other states that came down here during the winter, which is fantastic.
Wow.
And again, that speaks to that one team, one CAP standardization. Doesn't matter where our cadets come from. And we had quite a few from Georgia, Tennessee, and some of the southern states. Well, we had cadets from Alaska. We had cadets from Puerto Rico come to our encampment here in Florida, which I will gladly say they're all Florida cadets at that time, but really speaks to our training and our core values and how we train the new generation of leaders. So it's fantastic. So we've almost doubled in size to now we're looking at how can we safely handle this number of cadets, because it's a lot. So we need a lot of senior member support too. Our senior members, usually we had about 20 or 25. Now last encampment we had about 50. So there's more interest in our senior leaders to train and help develop our cadets, which is great.
So the encampment is what, like a week long?
It's a week long. We call it a mini boot camp. So they go through that same process of joining a military branch and going to a basic training. Not that intense, obviously. We don't do that. They're children. But they kind of go through the same experiences. For a lot of them, this is the first time they've been away from home. So they have to, that first and second night's jitters of mom and dad are not here. So we do have activities and we do have things so they have fun and kind of get away from that mentality of being alone.
Sure.
So we try to tell them this is a family. CAP is a family. And now you have 400 brothers and sisters, which is fantastic.
So 400 showed up for the last encampment.
That 400.
That's
400 cadets.
Where do you have that?
At Camp Blanding, which is a state-run facility up north, about 45 minutes west of Jacksonville.
Oh,
it's a National Guard facility. We creates that military environment that a lot of the cadets want to be a part of.
Yeah.
Fantastic support from the state, by the way. Camp Blanding, we've been doing encampments there for a number of years. And everything we've asked, they always say yes. They provide the personnel, the services, and the support, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and so I imagine they live in barracks?
Oh, yeah.
In barracks? So,
oh, yeah, 40-man barracks. They go through that kind of military-style training, if you will.
Yeah.
So the first 2 days, a lot of them are kind of in shock. They don't know don't know what's going on. But I'll tell you, at the end of the encampment, none of them want to go home.
I can imagine.
None of them want to go home. It's a fantastic. And the parents, even though it's a week, the parents, every year after year, they tell us they see the change.
Really?
So our program is very effective.
So some of the cadets come back in subsequent years?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the cadet program is kind of a revolving door because they do grow and they go to college or they go to the military, they do other things. And I don't know the percentages, but a good percentage do come back to the program because, like myself, I started as a cadet. They come back to give back to the program what they learned and make sure that other cadets have the same opportunities we had growing up. So that's another reason why came back to the program years later. I started as a cadet many, many years ago. And I credit Civil Air Patrol with my career and everything I accomplished. So I keep doing this so that other cadets benefit from what I've been able to do.
Wonderful. Giving back.
Absolutely.
Paying it forward,
absolutely,
if you will. That's great. That's great. Minimum age for a cadet?
12 years of age or in middle school. And so they could be 11 in the sixth grade and join Civil Air Patrol.
And do they age out at a certain year?
They age out at 21.
Okay.
They don't have to leave the program. They can stay and continue as a senior member. And there's no age limit for senior members. We have quite a few who are in their 80s and 90s.
Wow.
Still wear the uniform, still show up at unit meetings, still contribute, which is awesome.
That is good. That is good. So do you also actively recruit senior members, or do you just have enough of those that they just...
We're recruiting constantly. So one of our... we've growing, which is fantastic to see the growth. The pandemic we lost about 10% of our membership nationwide. And we were concerned that that was going to affect us, and it did. Now we're seeing growth that it's kind of hard to keep up with. We're seeing a lot of people interested in doing more than just communicating via computer screen. We're seeing a lot of people come back and want to do things in person. What can I do to serve? What can I do to help? What can I do? So we're seeing a lot of senior members. We're seeing a lot of school growth. We've opened in the past 6 months 5 new school squadrons. We're seeing a lot of interest from teachers wanting to join the program and develop aerospace education and aviation, which is one of the things that they're interested in is the unmanned aerial systems, drones. So uh-huh. STEM has taken off in a great way. So we're seeing a lot of interest in science and technology. And how can we as schools get involved with that? How can we teach them more than just the standard curriculum?
Very good. So you mentioned drones or unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs. So I would imagine you're integrating drones into your operations as
absolutely.
Well. Give me a couple of examples of that, Luis.
So I'll give you a quick example, which I'm very proud of. We had it during Hurricane Ian last year. We had the entire community got affected. We had a drone team embedded, and they were flying directly in support of FEMA. And because of their skills and their ability, they located an individual who was hurt and injured inside a vessel. And we were credited with saving his life. Had it not been for our drone team flying the marina, we would never found him. That guy who had been there since the storm. So he was quickly picked up by EMS and transported to a hospital, and we were credited with saving that guy's life. They would have never found him. There was no way of knowing. So the marinas were not a priority with all the services. Everybody got busy. So because we had a drone in the area, we quickly surveyed the marina, and we found an individual that needed help.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a real, real save for
absolutely.
Sure. One of many saves, I imagine, that you do as Civil Air Patrol. I know another of your missions is search and rescue. And so generally this is a real challenging issue when somebody is in an aircraft and goes down and doesn't show up at their destination and their loved ones contact the search and rescue folks, and eventually it comes to the Civil Air Patrol to help with the search and rescue mission. How does that process work? And tell us maybe an example of
absolutely.
One that you've done recently.
So depending on the incident and depending on the resources available, we can be notified several ways. Usually it comes from the Air Force Rescue Coordination Center, which is AFRCC, over at Tyndall, which is locally based here in Florida. We'll get notified of either a missing aircraft or missing person, and then we'll start activating our resources. Depending on the geography, the location, all that, we'll pick an asset appropriate for that. And then we'll deploy units, either an aircraft or a ground-based unit with an electronic DA finder, direction finding equipment, so we can find the signal, hopefully from an ELT, electronic locator transmitter, or an EPIRB, which stands for Emergency Position Indicating Radio Beacon. So ELTs are more aircraft-based, EPIRBs are marine-based. Uh-huh. So depending on which environment we operate in, we'll look for those signals. ELT, so we have a great partnership with the Air Force, of course, and the stable. We also have a great partnership with the Coast Guard. So if the Coast Guard is unable to find a source close to land, or depending on how far ashore, we are able to respond and search for that.
So some of your search and rescues are for marine
absolutely
craft. Yep. Okay, it's not just aviation.
Not just aviation or missing persons. Yeah. Last year, we supported the Coast Guard down in South Florida with a missing person who was reported missing from a marathon going all the way to the Bahamas. So we conducted sorties in support of that mission. Locally, the individual found safe in the Bahamas.
Good.
But we assisted the Coast Guard in looking for that boat. So yeah. Absolutely, we can search. Florida, it's a peninsula. As you know, there's water on three sides. So a lot of vessels, a lot of recreation activity going on in the state of Florida. So we do support the Coast Guard as much as we can.
Indeed. Well, that's great. Another good partnership between federal agencies. That's wonderful. So the Civil Air Patrol is an auxiliary of the Air Force?
Auxiliary of the Air Force, yes.
Auxiliary of the Air Force.
Of the Air Force.
So you do get federal funding, is that correct?
We do. We do some. We do get congressional funds through the Air Force that are managed by the Air Force and then passed on to us. And what that comes down is to maintain our fleet of aircraft. We are the largest single fleet, single engine fleet in the world, not just
really?
The nation. Wow. About 540 nationwide, and of course we have thousands of vehicles that we operate. So a lot of the funding goes to replacing those airframes and those vehicles. A lot of the funding goes into now the pilot initiative, into making sure that our cadets learn to fly and continue doing that. So a lot of the funding goes into maintenance and operations.
Yeah. Well, I find it just fascinating that not only do you have a very, very important mission that that you accomplish with your cadets and your senior leaders and the like, but you're also training young people to become leaders of the future, or leaders of today even, and using some great mentors to help them achieve that end. It sounds like the encampment is really a fun fun event, so that would be something I long to be that young again, that I could go to it, I'm
but
sure.
But I'll tell you, here last night at Sun and Fun, we have a group of about 100 members, most of them cadets. And there's a group of the British Air Corps here, the Royal Air Force cadets are here, and they had a fantastic time last night. So even not just, and it's great to see just the youth develop, not just CAP, there's Sea Cadets here, there's Royal Air Force cadets here. They had a great time last night. They had some camaraderie, they had food, they played soccer together last night, and that speaks to the volume of just what Sun and Fun is, right? We're bringing all these groups together. We're having fun with each other, not just learning, but getting to know each other. Even our fellow cadets from across the pond, as we'll say, they're having a great time. So cadet activities are fantastic.
It sounds like it. Sounds like it. And that's interesting to know that you're interacting with the Royal Air Force cadets that are here. As a matter of fact, the Royal Air Force representative, Colonel Wolgamuth, is going to be with us in a couple hours, and he'll be talking with us about their program here at Sun and Fun. So this has been Colonel Luis Negron with the Wing Commander for the Civil Air Patrol of Florida Wing. It's been great speaking with you again, Luis, and learning about the Civil
Happy
Air Patrol
back.
And all the things that you are doing and that you'll be doing in the future. Congratulations on the fantastic growth, and I'm sure it'll continue. So
thank you.
Best wishes to you. Well, I'm Ron Timmermans with the Florida Aviation Network. This has been another of our many interviews, so please stay tuned and come back in a few minutes. We'll have yet another interview for you. We're broadcasting live and in the clear from the Sun and Fun campus at Lakeland, Florida. Ron Timmermans, come back and see us again soon.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.